Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 980. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me this week, co-host of the show, we have Paris here in the house. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Just enjoying this cold weather over here in New York. It feels like it's like in the high 20s over here for like the past 2 days or so. I don't know about today. I haven't been outside, but the past today was really brutal.
Well, really brutal. It's going to be in the 80s here. This is great. This is why I live here.
Must be nice. Must be nice, man. Is there anything new going on? Because I slept very late last night. I was telling you this before we started recording. I was playing The Witcher 3 on the Switch. Love it. Still love it.
Where are you at right now playing it?
Right now, I just met the, the name of the, like, these three ladies.
So in other words, you're okay. I know exactly where you are, which means you're.
I just completed the whole everything.
Yeah.
That. It was a very long mission.
So you're doing the Baron quest, which is one of the best quests. Shout out to Powell. Got to talk to him at E3 about it, which was amazing. But, dude, skip the blood and wine. Why are you replaying this? I'm serious. Why are you replaying it from the beginning?
No, because I'm just playing it all over again. I love the game. So I'm enjoying it. I think I have maybe close to 15 hours already. I'm taking my time, dude. Doing my thing.
No rush. All I'm saying is you've never played Blood and Wine. You can skip to it. You can experience a new part of The Witcher 3, and by the time you get there, Cyberpunk's gonna be out, and you're not gonna play it. That's all I'm saying.
Paris, the game. Look, when Cyberpunk comes out, and I have to travel, I'm still gonna be playing The Witcher like on the go. Okay. It's fine. It's not the end of the world.
Okay. I don't know why we're on this topic, but okay. I guess we can move on with the show. I'll say this since we're going retro and what have you been playing this week? Yeah, it's 2005, man. I have been trying to solo the new dungeon, the Pit of Heresy in Destiny 2. And I have one more encounter passes, then I get to the boss. I'm at the encounter right before you get to the boss. And it's been fun because it's challenging doing it that way. I mean, it's like, because literally if you die, like you'll go through all this stuff you're doing in one particular section, and you make one mistake and you die, you got to start all over. So that's I've been doing that since Friday, just taking my time with it. But it's fun and challenging. Hopefully I'll knock it out by tonight.
You know, before we go to the topics, I want to mention this real quick because I read this article. Man, I can't remember. Was it at The Verge? Polygon? It was one of those websites, but they posted a piece about why a lot of them are just, they don't have time to play like long games, long RPG games, and they're very happy with an RPG game like The Outer Worlds. Perfect amount of time. Everybody could finish it. After you're done, you could replay it or just move on. And before we go with that, Paris, we're very busy lately. Do you think that's a great piece talking about that? Like, because people don't have a lot of time to spend to play 100 hours of RPG games.
I mean, most people don't have a lot of time to play hundreds of hours of RPG games, only just the most hardcore. So, yeah, it takes a game like The Outer Worlds and it opens it up to a bigger audience to be able to experience that type of content and enjoy it from start to finish versus you start playing it, you get 20, 30 hours in, then you get distracted, life happens, you get to take your kids to soccer practice, and then you never come back to it. You know what I'm saying? So, no, it that's pretty much spot on. If anything, that's where I think a lot of games, like there's obviously a place for these, for a Witcher 3, as an example, right? Which is going to be hundreds of hours to play and fully explore and complete. But there's also a place for a game where, yeah, you play it for 15 to 20 hours and you're done. You've experienced it. Like example, which will be coming out at the end of this week, Jedi Fallen Order. I mean, people are saying it's probably around about a 20-hour game, which is perfect. And it's a single-player game. There's no DLC, loot boxes, extra multiplayer, nothing. It's a single-player experience. It's a story that you can play, and you're done. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, so head over to Gamertag Radio. Listen to our past episodes. Everything is there. Make sure to share it. Also, you can subscribe, listen to the show on any podcast app. Just search for Gamer Tag Radio and we're there. And also send us questions. We have a couple questions here for this episode. We're going to play it later on. So here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris. So let's go with the topics for today, man. I know it's been a very interesting week because this week is the launch of Google Stadia. And guess what? The other day, I contacted Google to see if somehow, some way we could get like a review, a copy of the product. Crickets. I haven't heard anything. I even been talking to other content creators and nobody has... no review units at all. So is there hype with Google Stadia? Because I know you've been very vocal on Twitter.
Slight correction before we jump into it. It's not this week. It's next week. It's the 19th.
The 19th. Out. My bad.
Yeah.
My 19th.
Just in case someone's listening to this and gets confused.
Yeah. You're right. It's next week.
Yeah. So yes, I have been extremely vocal about Stadia the past few weeks because here we are. We are 9 days away as we're recording this from launch. Where's the public demonstration of this? Where's showing someone sitting in Bucharest and someone sitting in London playing together, right? You know, where's that? Where's the LA New York thing showing that cloud streaming can work, that multiplayer can work, all that stuff, and they fixed the lag thing? Where is the huge celebration and launch of Stadia? There isn't one. Reason being is because this, look, I'm just going to be blunt about this. This is a half-assed launch for Stadia. Number one, the Founders Edition, they've already told people that they're not guaranteeing everyone's going to get the Founders Edition at launch, that basically they're shipping it out on a first-come, first-served basis. Number one. Number two, when they've come up with this other pack that people can buy, you're not getting that at launch. They've already confirmed that, you know. We're spending like the wireless controller thing only works with a Chromecast. It won't work on your mobile device or laptop, or anything. You got to go wired on that. So that's another thing. That one I'm kind of okay with, whatever, right? Because it is launch. But again, what's the showcase game that I'm playing at launch? I don't know. Is it Destiny 2? Doom's not coming out. What is it? I don't know. Because they're not talking about it. I know they did the IGN first thing and they did this whole big feature. Shout out to Christina because she was in the video. I don't know if you caught
that. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, sorry.
You know, they showed off the controller, like, oh, the amazing controller. Sorry, there are so many controllers on the market now. You're not selling me on this new controller. That's not what's selling me to get Stadia. What's selling me is to show that cloud streaming works. Why are we not doing that? Now, I know they had some executives, VP or whoever it was, talking, had a long interview talking about this. I saw that online last week or the week before, which is great, but it's talk. I want to see it. Again, Microsoft is literally eating Google's lunch with this right now because they've made zero promises with Project xCloud on when it's coming out, but yet they're rolling it out to the public. They're average, everyday Joe people that have Project xCloud and are playing it right now. Danny, you've been playing it for weeks. There's other people out there. There's videos on YouTube where people are doing real world public tests of this in their house, you know, on the go, wherever. And they're playing it. They're playing Halo 5 and doing all this stuff. That's what I want to see with Stadia. And we don't see it. But you want me to spend $130 to beta test Stadia, because that's what it really comes down to. You're spending $130 to beta test Stadia, and then hopefully they can fix all the bugs and properly roll it out in 2020. That's what the reality of this is. Anyone thinking that this launch and next week is the launch of Stadia? No, this is the launch of their public beta test, and you're paying to participate in it. That's what this is. So I'm not impressed. My DEF CON meter is at Mass Effect Andromeda right now. That's how concerned I am about this.
That's bad.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you something. Like, and again, I've played it. I have played it. I'm saying this, and I've played it. I played it at Gamescom. I played Doom. It worked. But again, controlled environment. Same as Project X Cloud at Gamescom was a controlled environment. Worked great. You want to prove it to me? Let me get my hands on it on my own devices using my own, you know, cell company, my own ISP. That's what I want to test it on to make sure that it works. And I will go back to it again. My biggest concern with cloud streaming, yes, it's the latency, but it's the multiplayer latency. That's my biggest concern. Yes, I know there's going to be dedicated servers, all that stuff, but multiplayer requires precise control. And I'm not going to get that on cloud streaming. So until you can prove to me that I'm wrong and it works, I'm not a believer in it. I'm not, because I got to see that. I think ultimately cloud streaming will work for the most part for single player games. Like, again, let's take Jedi Fallen Order as an example. I think that'll be fine. But when I have to play a multiplayer game on there, I'm not convinced. I got to see it. Show me. And that's why I keep bringing up Destiny 2 so much, because let me see a PvP match from start to finish with Stadia, with people spread out all over the country playing it, right? I want to see a six-man team do a raid from start to finish on Stadia. Show me that. Mm-hmm. Until you show me that, I don't believe it. So that's just me. That's my old man rant for today. I'll stop talking about it, because I'll talk about this thing forever.
Well, you know, I'm a believer with Project X Cloud, because
you're using it.
Yeah, I'm using it. Yeah. I played single player. I played multiplayer. I even went on TV live on TV, and we were kind of nervous because their internet connection wasn't that great around that area, and it still was running smooth. You know what I'm saying? So why can't they just do that? Give it to other people. It doesn't have to be us content creators, but
no.
Give it to the average person, man.
That's what
you
I'm
know
saying.
How many people have been contacting us saying, wow, man, I'm loving Project X Cloud. This is the future. I'm trying it out. I'm playing Halo 5 on the way to work on a bus or on a train or whatever, you know? So let everybody use it, man. Right now I feel like, yeah, you have to pay a certain amount of dollars in order for you to try it out. I think that's for basically early access, you know. I'm not into that,
See, I remember a year ago, because you were in it, I wasn't, they did the whatever it was called, Project whatever, and you could do Assassin's Creed Odyssey, right?
Yeah, and it was good.
Why aren't we doing that now? Now that we're at the quote-unquote 1.0 product, why isn't there an early access beta to do something similar, to alleviate the fears of people like me who've not had a public exit, did it a year ago to experience it. The only thing I did was at Gamescom. And then obviously the majority of people haven't had hands on at all. Do a public beta to show people, yep, it works. But they're not doing that. You can still put out your Founders Edition. You can still charge $130 for it. But if, let's say, the month of October, they rolled this out and let people try select games, that would have been perfect. And again, I don't know, I'm the Destiny fan, but the fact that a Destiny or a Fortnite or something like that is free to play, you put that on there. Let people go play it. Prove that it works. Yeah. That's it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But they're not doing that. And again, this is why, like you said, you believe in what Microsoft is doing. Obviously, Microsoft is confident in what they're doing because they are letting the public get their hands on it early without charging a dime for select games. That to me says we have confidence in this. We understand it will have some issues, but we want you to play it and help us refine this. Whereas Stadia is not doing that. They're basically hiding the product at this point. They're not allowing public tests of it. Not to mention, where is my exclusive game on Stadia that's my incentive to go on and go get this anyways? There isn't one. I'm sorry, but Orcs Must Die 3 or whatever it is not going to get me to say, all right, let's move everything on over to Stadia. Forget Xbox and PlayStation, Nintendo. I'm going to go over there. No, that's not going to happen either. So I'm worried. I am truly worried about this product because I don't think it's going to have the launch success that they anticipate. I don't think with PlayStation 5 and Scarlet and probably an upgraded Switch coming next year, I don't think they're going to get the market share in 2020. The people are like, hey, man, I'm just going to move to Stadia and play with my other five friends that move over there, too, because no one else is going. That's not going to happen either. So Stadia is going to struggle. As a cloud-only platform with no other way to play your games, it's going to struggle as we move into the next generation of games. It just is, because who is going to invest their hard-earned money into this ecosystem? I'm not. I'm telling you right now, I'm not. I'm. There's no way in hell I'm going to put down $60 for a cloud-only game, whereas if Google snaps Thanos's it and it just goes away, I'm out my $60. And we know with Google's track record, that is a possibility. They can say whatever the hell they want. I don't believe them because they abandon projects all the time. So why should I believe them now? And if they're not making a profit on it, if they're not getting market share with Stadia, why would I believe that they're going to stick it out for the long term? Whereas we know Microsoft will stick it out for the long term with Project xCloud because they're not relying on Project xCloud. They are saying this is just another alternative for you to play your games. And depending on how they price it for the average consumer who doesn't have their own console at home will kind of dictate how successful it's going to be. But I have a lot more confidence in what Microsoft is doing with their strategy versus what Google's doing. Same with EA's doing something. I saw, who else did I just see? Steam potentially might do some kind of cloud streaming. I believe in those more because they're not telling me that's the only way I can play my game. Whereas Google's trying to fast forwarded us to the year 2050, where we have the infrastructure and technology to do this. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. You know what this reminds me of real quick, and I'll be quiet about it. This reminds me of 2013, where Microsoft tried to force feed their vision for a digital only world for Xbox One, and people rejected it because we weren't ready yet. And look, I still say to this day, I actually agree with what they were trying to do, but their messaging was poor. They didn't execute it properly. We rejected it. There was an alternative and a cheaper alternative called the PlayStation 4, and we all went over there. Same thing's going to happen with Stadia. There are cheaper and better alternatives on the other platforms, so why would I invest in yours? That's what's going to happen.
And you know what? Shout out to Microsoft. I know now, recently, I think over a week ago, now they also added a new feature for the Project xCloud beta. Now you could stream from your console to your phone, to your device.
Yes, or like I saw that. Yeah, you got to test that because I'm going to know how that works.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to do my... Mine hasn't popped up yet. I think it's a certain amount of people that are registered to the Project xCloud beta. Slowly, every week or so, I think more people are going to get that feature. So mine is probably coming up maybe this week or next week. But I'm going to try that out, man. Imagine on the go playing The Outer Worlds, so all these games that I have, you know, digitally on my console or from my account. It's good, man.
Yeah, you know, it's good. Agreed. Completely agree.
Yeah, definitely, man. Now, before we go to the next topic, Paris, have Bungie said anything or Ubisoft? Because their games is launching in a couple of days for the service. Have they mentioned anything? Nothing. That's not good.
And that's what I say. I'll joke on Twitter and I'll at Bungie because I know it's Griffin that does the Bungie account. I'm like, hey man, where's Stadia? What's going on? Where's the demo? And they don't say anything because honestly, they're probably not allowed to say anything. You know, this is Google's platform. They're the ones controlling it. They're the ones that are going to dictate the message on it. And right now, I think their messaging is terrible because they're leaving a lot of doubt, and the launch is 9 days away. There should be no doubt right now. And that's the problem.
You know, I hope we hear something this week. There's a chance, Paris. I still hope.
No, there is. there is definitely a chance. You know? There's definitely a chance. So, I'll just say this, and I'll leave it at that, and we can move on. I may or may not know more than I can say. And yeah, I'm worried. I'll just put it that way.
Ooh. Oh, damn. Paris and his hints. Oh, boy. Oh, man. It's crazy. All right, so the next topic, man. I don't know if this is controversial or not. It's something that I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. So PlayStation Now, Paris. There's a bunch of articles of people saying Good things about the service, bad things about the service. Mm-hmm. One of them is Ars Technica. Their article says Sony has a PlayStation Now problem. Poor branding, lack of first party exclusives, that which dragged down the subscription service. Now, I know we were going back and forth, you and I, not only on Twitter, but also on the phone. You know, you said that Sony doesn't
really need to do anything. Don't speak for me.
But that, I'm just going to go with this. I'm going to mention the conversation because I'm going to say, because I think you didn't really understand what I was trying to say, but I'm going to mention this. You said that Sony doesn't really need to do anything right now because, yo, they're number one, which I agree. Totally agree with that. But here is the issue that I have. And a lot of the fans also were saying the same thing, that Microsoft is desperate for doing this, for making this a Xbox Game Pass, and that the game is not valuable or whatever from Sony, you know, things like that. I totally disagree. I think this was a smart business move, because if this is desperate, then every other company, streaming service company overall, for beyond gaming, let's say Disney Plus, which launches this week, are they all desperate too? I think this is just a smart business move. Right now, yes, Microsoft is doing their thing now with Xbox Game Pass. I know Google Play started doing that now with mobile. Apple has been doing it too. Even Nintendo, which is not technically like the others when you compare like the amount of games, but at least there's some content there. You just sign up for the online service and you still could play all these games. I think Sony should have not said that. I think they should have said something like, we're planning to do this in the future, maybe. We're looking into it, you know. But to call it in a way like those games is already available on other services, like those are like just desperate and not, and it's not valuable compared to PlayStation. So that's the only thing that I totally disagree
with.
Okay,
I'm a little confused. So what's the desperation?
No, I can't remember which website it was. They asked about why won't they release a game like The Last of Us on PlayStation Now, first party games. So yeah. Sony, exactly. I'm gonna read exactly what they said here, so you could. Sony exactly like they said. Certainly, right now, given how some of our first party IP is incredibly special and valuable, we just want to treat them with an amazing care and respect, and have those launches be clean and pure. What so?
But how's that desperation though? That's smart.
But Paris, it's not. The thing is, they're gonna make the change later. I know that.
Okay.
So I think they should have said something like, "We're looking into this. You know, we're doing research to see if this makes sense for our business." That's it. You don't have to say it in a way, because look, man, Gears 5 is a great game. Was that stupid for Microsoft to add those games, you know, first party games to the service? I don't think so.
Okay,
it's just a smart business.
So move. Now listen to me real quick, and
yeah,
don't take what I'm saying the wrong way. Take yeah. your console bias out of the equation.
No, right I now. Am. I am. It's totally but, out.
Like, okay. All right.
I mentioned Nintendo Switch. I mentioned Nintendo Switch
again. Too. Like the conversation we had on the phone. I don't understand how I didn't mistake anything. I understood exactly what they said. If I'm PlayStation, I'm saying the same exact freaking thing, because here's the thing. They are in first place. They are the leader.
Yes, I said that.
Okay, but you're not letting me finish. I'll let you talk. Let me talk.
Yeah, go.
They are the leaders. They have zero incentive to do anything that Xbox is doing right now with Game Pass. You want to know why? Because people are buying their exclusive titles at $60 a clip. They have over 100 million PlayStation 4s out in the wild. Mm-hmm. Their first party sales, Microsoft's does not, which is why Microsoft has done Game Pass. Just like I said in the tweet, if I'm in first place, I'm not chasing third place, because that's where we are right now. You know what I'm saying? Forget the console bias, forget Xbox, PlayStation, all that. If I'm PlayStation and I have had record sales over this generation, and all my first party exclusive games, not all, but the vast majority of them have been highly acclaimed. People gotta play them. People gotta go play Spider-Man. They gotta go play Horizon Zero Dawn. They gotta go play God of War. And then your crown jewel, the arguably the biggest franchise that they have right now with The Last of Us is about to drop, why in the hell would I put it on PlayStation Now, which is currently a loss leader for them? And it's not like they're dying to get this to compete with Game Pass or Project X Cloud or internet stuff. They don't care. I'm not going to say they don't care. Clearly they care, but I'm not going to take my crown jewel IP, which people will go spend $60 to go play, and put it on PlayStation Now so someone can subscribe for a month, play it, beat the game, then unsubscribe, because that's what's going to happen. So no, they're not going to do that. And it's a smart business move to not do that. Could they look, if their market share slips and if Xbox gains ground, Nintendo, whoever, whatever the case, if Sony as a business, if PlayStation as a business feels threatened using their current model and they're losing money, then we might see a change to that philosophy. But right now, there's no incentive to do so. And as we go into the next generation, there's no incentive to do so. So again, why would you do it? And you can't just, oh, they're going to do it eventually and all that. You don't know, because unless something changes with their profit margin, there's no incentive to do so. And right now, why? Again, why? They are the leaders. They have the games. They have the game. Look, let me put it this way. Mm-hmm. When holiday 2020 gets here, right, I'm going to buy a PlayStation 5. You want to know why? Because I want to play PlayStation games. And I can't play those on my PC. Whereas Xbox, obviously they've made it, I don't need to do so. So again, that's the point. They know I'm going to go spend the money to play their games. You know what I'm saying? So why would they change their model? They don't have to compete with Microsoft with Game Pass. Microsoft has to compete with them. And this was their solution to try and compete with them, to try and get more people back into their ecosystem, is to create something like Game Pass to give, put a Gears 5, to put the Outer Worlds, to put Halo Infinite on that subscription service, because they know that gives people incentive. You know what? I'm subscribing to the thing. Let me start trying out the Microsoft games again. And look, it may change. I hope it changes. I want pure competition. But right now, it's not even a competition. PlayStation is the clear-cut leader. So you're damn right. If I'm the head of PlayStation, I would say the same exact thing. We treat our games with tender love and care. And no, we're not putting it on PlayStation Now. You want to go play it, go buy it, because we know you will. That's what it really comes down to.
So my question to you, Paris, why do you think Sony lowered price down for PlayStation Now?
Because no one's playing it. That's why.
They're the leaders. You know, yes, they have 100 million consoles sold, which I mentioned that in the beginning. That it's not about that. What I was trying to say is I think the wording was just bad. Like, I think that they could just say it in a different way, because eventually, if the business goes down, they are going to make the change.
If.
That's what I'm saying.
But there you go. If.
That's what, if. It's going to happen. If. Paris, let's be real. It's the future. It's the future for every company.
Take the console bias out of it. We have yet to see anything that says that PlayStation is slowing down from what they've been doing the past 7 years. So, yeah, they're going to say that. And they should. Maybe 5 years from now, we might have a market slip. So we shouldn't say this now in 2019. Of course, they're going to say that in 2019.
Paris, it's not about PlayStation or Xbox. I'm not talking. I don't care about Xbox. I'm talking about. Oh my God, you still understand what I'm saying? Because you will say every time, forget about being biased. And I'm not even bringing that up, Paris. I'm being real. Like, I think it was just dumb for them to say that. That's what I think. Personally, for me, I think it's just dumb. That's why I will never sign up to PlayStation Now, right now, until they make that change. Now,
I honestly feel like you're trying to twist this into something that is not. No, I mean, literally, there's no reason for PlayStation to put their flagship AAA title on PlayStation Now when no one is subscribing to PlayStation Now. And you're not going to take a game that's going to make you hundreds of millions of dollars by itself and put it on a subscription service just to get a temporary inflation in sub numbers. That's not going to be the solution to fixing PlayStation Now. So, no, you're not putting The Last of Us 2 on PlayStation Now. It doesn't make sense for them.
Okay. I have my opinion. Use yours. It's all good. It's all good. If anybody that is listening right now, if you're a PlayStation Now a subscriber, please let us know the good, the bad, all that stuff. Does it make sense? just hit us up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, let's talk about our sponsor for this week of Gamer Tag Radio. The Menlo Club is a men's monthly and seasonal fashion community that provides curated style packages for every man. The community drives to deliver personalized fashion curation, content, and clothing for men all over the U.S. For just $60 a month or $75 per season, men in the community will receive stylish curated packages containing two or three items of the latest men's wear. They sent me already, Menlo's Club sent me a couple items. I have my hoodie, which I've been wearing here a lot in New York City, blue dark jeans. Also, my sneakers, I've been rocking those too. Super, super comfortable. And I'm loving it, man. So all their items are designed by their in-house team in Los Angeles. All you have to do is complete a brief style quiz to be matched into a clothing profile that will curate the apparel being sent to you. Also, the Menlo's Club member experience team is available for help through live chat, email, phone. Hassle-free, no styling fee like other competitors, free size exchange, and pause or cancel anytime. Receive an extra members only 25% off the Menlo's Club. .com, that's their online e-com store, and always receive free shipping. So you, the Gamer Tag Radio listeners, this is what you have to do. This is a great, great deal right here. Get your first monthly or seasonal package for $35 off, over 50% off using promo code GTR. All you have to do is go to themenlohouse.com/club. That's themenlohouse.com/club and use promo code GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right. So, Paris, the next thing, Red Dead Redemption 2 just came out for the PC. You still haven't gotten it yet?
No.
What are the issues is going on with the game? Because I know people that have the game, they don't have any issues unless you want to make it 4K. I think that's the issue.
Well, right? it's just not optimized. The problem really just comes down to this. And again, the 4K 60 thing highlights this. If you have a high end gaming rig that should be able to play the game at those settings, it's just not able to do it. And that just points back to it not being properly optimized. People are pointing at issues with the Rockstar launcher, things like that. It'll happen eventually, you know, early days, obviously, with that. But it is disappointing for people that have invested the money into their hardware to be able to that want to experience this game at its highest fidelity. And they can't right now. That's the issue. So I've not bought it yet. So I've not played it yet, so I've not run into that. But let's just put it this way. People that are running 2080 Ti's are barely able to hit 4K 30 on Red Dead. So there's definitely an issue with it right now. So that's kind of in a nutshell what's going on. Like I said, I'm sure they're working really fast to try and get this resolved so that it goes away. Interesting thing that I did see that came out of this is whether you pick it up on the Epic Store, whether you buy it directly from Rockstar, or eventually you get it through Steam, it uses the Rockstar launcher no matter what. So no matter where you pick it up, you're technically still playing it through the Rockstar launcher.
So have Rockstar has said anything?
I've not seen anything official, no.
Huh. Well, I hope they're probably working on something behind the scenes. Because, dude, that's not good because they never had issues like this with their past games, like Grand Theft Auto that launched on the PC. This is the first time.
That's what I mean. This they're doing something different with this one. Like obviously, they're trying to push their, you know, the Rockstar store basically, the Rockstar launcher. So,
Okay. By the way, so Friday the 15th is XO19. Probably going to see maybe a very small amount of new announcements from Microsoft, which I know there is one right at the beginning of the show. We don't know what it is just yet. I believe Friday, okay, Friday, November 15th, 10:30 a.m. GMT. There's an unannounced game I'm going to be showing. So after that, Obsidian is going to be there showing some stuff too. Maybe some DLC of The Outer Worlds. Who knows? And this is going to also be going to be all the games there. But do you see anything big happening from this, Mike? Because the other day, I saw that Xbox Spain teased about or just mentioned very quickly about Splinter Cell. I don't know if that was just like just to start a buzz, which I doubt is going to be Splinter Cell. But any guesses what could this be?
Honestly, I'm not holding my breath for anything major. I mean, I know I saw what Aaron Greenberg tweeted out yesterday, but I'm not expecting anything big, not yeah, like game changer or anything. Again, next year's the year for everything that they're trying to do. So I don't see them giving away too much. We already know Halo's coming. You know, it's stuff like that. Maybe an Ori and the Blind Forest tease, because that is early next year, right? Pretty sure it is.
Yeah, spring of
yeah, maybe so yeah. Maybe something Ori related. That make a lot of sense.
I think it's probably gonna be like a very small digital game. Something like that. First party exclusive, something maybe that, but very small. Nothing really big. Might as well just hold all the big announcements for next year, E3 or something like that. You know, maybe next year's XO19. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised to see even more announcements through the Video Game Awards than here, in my opinion. That's just what I think.
Yeah.
So, which is, that's very soon too, right? Is that December?
December 12th. I'll be there.
Oh, wow. I forgot that you're going.
Yeah. I'm
going to go. This is going to be your first time.
Yeah, it'll be my first time going.
Oh, snap, man. Any predictions from there, man?
You saw that meme I sent you yesterday. That's my prediction. Oh, that prediction was
cold. You want to talk about it or not? Oh,
that, no, and shout out to Skillup because he's the one that posted it. I just thought it was funny. He posted a meme where Jeff Keighley was announcing Game of the Year, and then he looks down at his card. It says Devil May Cry 5, and then he says Death Stranding.
Yeah, that was
funny. And him and Kojima are celebrating. Oh man, I just think that's what's gonna happen. I think my prediction would be that Death Stranding for sure will be one of the nominees, whether it wins or not, I mean, to be determined. But absolutely, Death Stranding will get a nomination by hook or crook. Kojima's gonna get some shine at the Video Game Awards.
Yeah, so I know people are asking, are we gonna be planning to stream the Game Awards this year? Don't know, because Paris is going to be attending the event, so I don't know how we're going to do this. And you know, maybe we'll talk to Pete. I don't know, but that's crazy because his schedule is totally different than ours now. So I don't know if we're gonna make that happen. We'll see. All right. So one more thing, which I'm not surprised about this: Destiny 2 crossplay. Is might happen in the future?
Yeah, I mean, by that? Yeah, no, because Mark Noseworthy, when they originally announced that cross save was coming, when they first talked about, I guess this was June, they were talking about that. He even said then that cross play is something they're interested in, but they just didn't have the time to get it implemented this year. It's something to look at next year. So I do think it'll eventually happen. It just makes sense. Why not? You know, so as an example, I could be on PC, people on Xbox and PlayStation, you know, we can all play together. I think it'll be a thing. I know there was a lot of discussion, let's put it that way, on social media, people bringing up console controller versus keyboard and mouse, 30 frames versus 60 frame plus advantages, all that. I mean, you know, hey, Call of Duty's doing it right now. I know Gears does it. There's a way to make it work and let everyone be happy with it. I mean, it really just comes down to the PvP portion. When we talk PvE co-op stuff, it's not going to be an issue, really. So we'll see. I mean, look, like I said, I do think it'll happen. Probably they'll wait until next-gen consoles are out and whatever, and air quotes at this point, Destiny 3 turns out to be, I think they'll just wait until then to potentially do something. But yeah, it's going to come.
Okay. All right. So I think it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, So we have a couple questions here. Paris, you could pick any of the voicemails you want. You haven't heard of this, right? This
I haven't heard. Be yeah, straight up. Yeah, there's two of them. I haven't heard any of them. So we're going to hear this together to everyone in the Twitch chat. So let's check this out.
Hello, this is David from Baltimore. I'd like to ask you guys a question. My birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks, and I'm planning to buy a Nintendo Switch. Now I know that all the good third-party games and first-party games are on there, which I cannot wait to try. But there is one third-party developer that's not showing support is EA Games, because we see a few months ago they said that they don't like the supporters of Nintendo Switch. We already know we have like FIFA and I think FIFA and another EA game, but I think that EA is just missing the ball on Nintendo Switch, because they're getting a lot of third-party support. And will you imagine games like Madden, Mass Effect, you know, all three previously Mass Effect games, and even a Star Wars game comes in Nintendo Switch. So what do you think about EA missing the point on Nintendo Switch? I hope you have a wonderful day. Keep up the great show. Later.
All right. Well, David, thank you for that voicemail. And I'm pretty sure this is the same David that hit up you and I, Danny, on Twitter, asking about what games he should get for the Switch. I just recommended really quick. Hey, there's so many amazing games you can get on the Switch right now, but I would start with Zelda and Mario Odyssey. That's just me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I know you can answer way better than I can when it comes to, you know, all the Switch games. But to his question about EA... Yeah, EA's missing the boat right now. Look, they're having enough struggles as it is right now. So I get why we're probably not seeing any EA games on the Switch, but absolutely EA Access should be a part of the Switch. They should open up that back catalog of games to put on the Switch. It just makes a lot of sense, you know? So like he mentioned Mass Effect specifically, you know, Happy N7 Day was earlier or last week, I should say. And, you know, they're hinting at Mass Effect remasters coming. That would be the perfect opportunity to get the Mass Effect trilogy on the Switch. I mean, it's definitely something, at least Mass Effect 2 anyways, I would absolutely be interested in playing that again and doing it on the Switch. I think it is a huge opportunity that they're missing. Like we got Jedi Fallen Order coming out right now. You know, honestly, I know that Apex Legends, you know, it's on console and on PC, but it could work on the Switch, right? Same as Fortnite. Why not? Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely opportunity. Put Titanfall on the freaking Switch. Why not? You know, that is such a criminally underrated franchise that doesn't get the shine it deserves. Put that on there, especially Titanfall 2. Would go over very well on the Switch. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of games. Unravel should be on the Switch. It's like a no-brainer. You know, from
Unravel is there. Unravel,
it is. Oh, it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I misspoke. Well, then there you go. There's an EA game for it. But there's definitely an opportunity for games.
There's no excuse now. Now that we have The Witcher 3, we have Doom, we have Wolfenstein, we have a lot of big AAA games on the go now, on the Switch. There's no excuse now. I'm sorry, because before that was EA's excuse. It's like, no, it's not really a powerful console. You know, let's just work on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation. They're missing a huge opportunity, man, because that's one thing about Nintendo users. When there's a new game, they'll buy it. Doesn't matter if it's an old game or not. The Witch is selling well. Cuphead is selling well. Games that was originally on just one console, and it got released now for the Switch, and, dude, everybody's buying it, man. So... yeah, I think you're right. I think Titanfall should be there. Mass Effect. You want to take it even old school? Dead Space. That's a great game. Part 1, 2. It's really great games, man. You know, so yeah. We'll see. Need for Speed. They could have that if they want. You know, there's games out there. Yeah.
By the way, you know, we were talking about Need for Speed Heat, and I was like, oh, they just threw it out there or whatever. I guess they're expecting it to do very well. I mean, I saw the projection was they're expecting to sell like 4 million copies of that game.
Wow. Yeah. Really? How? Yeah. With no promotion? Yeah.
I guess just the franchise. I guess they're just the loyal people that pick it up every year. But that's their projection for that game. I was just reading it earlier this week. Yep.
Let's be real. Most likely we're going to see a Black Friday sale on that game too. Maybe that will give it a push a little bit, I guess. No?
Well, yeah, that was part of it. It is going on sale for Black Friday. That got leaked already. So yeah, that is part of it.
Yep. So how much? Do you know the price?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, here's a game that I was very surprised 10 days after launch, after the release of the game. Shenmue 3 is going to be on sale at Best Buy for $35. I find that super strange. 10 days after the release of the game? I don't know. That was kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, but this has happened in the past with other games where they come out that close to Black Friday and they instantly go on sale during Black Friday, but then they go right back to the normal retail price. I guess we'll see. It's just an incentive to get more people to run out and pick it up, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we have now another voicemail, but let me go with this question very quick here. Give me 1 second, guys. His name is Roch. Hey, Danny in Paris. Danny, big question with xCloud. If you know, if I have a solid copy of a game like Modern Warfare, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, or Ghost Recon Breakpoint, will Microsoft let me play it on xCloud? Or is it just going to be for Game Pass games only? All right, so according to Microsoft, it's not only Game Pass, but also any digital game that you own, you could play that on Project X Cloud with just that. You know, so right now, I know that, like I mentioned earlier, you could stream your games from your console to your device. Once that's available, I'll let you know if it works or not. But yeah, if you purchase any games digitally, then yeah, you could play any of those games. Now, if you have a game using you got it from like a physical disc, those are not going to work. It has to be digital. So shout out to you, man. Thanks for the email. All right, Paris, you have another voicemail? Want to play that?
Yes. Let's play it right now.
What's up, peoples? It's your boy, MM2K. Calling so close to my previous call and bothering you guys in such an unusual fashion, but only doing so because I think we're having one of the most important discussions that we've had in gaming in a very long time, and that's surrounding Death Stranding and the question being, does gameplay have to be fun in order for a game to be considered stellar, top tier across the board, right? I look at it like this. Let's just say if the great movie, The Joker, like instead of it being released as the movie experience that we all know, it was released as a game. And all that game was the base movie, again, as we know it, but with interactive gameplay that involves you balancing the sign like how he does in a commercial, using the L and the R trigger, right? You know what I'm saying? And you're doing that for 15 to 30 hours. And embedded in that 15 to 30 hours, just cut scenes from the base movie. Then towards the latter part of the experience, you get a 3-hour level. You know what I'm saying? That's decent. And then after that, you get the rest of the movie. My question is that an enthralling, a fun experience, gameplay experience? You know what I'm saying? And I use that example to say this. I think we're headed down a dangerous path as far as gaming is concerned. When we start rating games at that level outside of their play loop, I don't like it. But I want to get you guys' thoughts on that. And as always, keep up the good work. Have a wonderful gaming day.
All right. Thank you for that voicemail. And to answer your question from my point of view, fun is subjective, right? I think people are using that word to try and, like, obviously in Death Stranding with the gameplay. I don't want to use the word fun. I just want to use, is the gameplay loop compelling enough that I'm engaged while I'm participating in it? Right. So like I mentioned, as an example, on Destiny 2 right now, I'm doing the Pit of Heresy solo. It's hard. Is it fun? But is it challenging? And am I engaged? Is it something that I want to complete? Like I'm going to feel a sense of satisfaction once I complete it? Absolutely. Yes. So to me, that's compelling. That is a gameplay loop that I want to experience. I want to do because it's making me think. It's pushing me to do things outside of my comfort zone in that game, which is great. So when I look at a game like Death Stranding, which I have not played, so we don't have an expert panel here that's played it. Shout out to Tony Polanco because, my God, his tweets this week have been amazing. To me, I look at it from the outside looking in, and that doesn't look compelling to me. But again, I don't know the story. I haven't been engaged into it, so I don't know. And there's been enough evidence now that people have had their hands on it that whatever the hell Kojima is doing, people are digging it. That's what I see from the public that are playing it. I don't necessarily know if that's for me. I'll wait. I don't need to play it right now. So in that sense, to kind of just go back to what he's saying with the Joker movie, like, yeah, if I'm just spinning a sign on the side of the road the entire time, and then you go to cutscene, 3-hour gameplay loop, back to spinning a sign, is that fun? I would say at face value, hell no. But then again, maybe once you get engrossed into the game, maybe it's doing something that hooks you in, that makes you think, that makes you, you know, even when you're not playing, like you have this like, man, I got to go back because I have to explore this or I have to go do that. To me, that's fun. That's challenging. That's compelling. These are the kind of things that I look for when I play a game. So does something have to have that 30-second loop of fun every time you pick up a controller to play it? Absolutely not. But if the story is there, if it's doing something compelling, if it's making you think outside the box, if it's pushing you out of your comfort zone, and it's compelling enough that you want to keep coming back to it, I think that's fine. I think that makes a great game. Not every game has to be sunshine and rainbows.
No, and I agree. And look, Paris, we always talk about The Witcher 3. I know people that played it don't like the game at all.
Yep.
You know, everybody's going to have different opinions. I don't like Red Dead Redemption 2. I think it's just, in my opinion, it's not fun. I found it boring. But there's people that will call that game best game of last year. Which is fine. Everybody's going to have different opinions, man. You know, so even games like The Walking Dead, the first season, great story. A lot of people thought it was just not fun at all. So everybody's going to have a different opinions about it, man. You know, so. But it is interesting reading all these tweets from people that purchased Death Stranding this week. They're loving it, man. So far has been positive from them. I haven't really read a lot of tweets from people that actually purchased the game not liking it, the game. So I think I've seen more from the negative side from when it comes to reviews instead of from like the consumers. So that's about it from my opinion about that, man. So
yeah again, thank you for the voicemail. We appreciate it.
Great quality. Wow, that was a pretty good quality voicemail, man. So yeah, I think he used he did use the speakpipe.com/gamertag radio. You could do it like that. If you want to, leave a message from your phone or computer, that's how the quality comes out like that. So, all right. Anything else, Paris? Anything else?
No, I will say that I'm really looking forward to Jedi Fallen Order, and I did not think those words would be coming off of my lips about 4 or 5 months ago. But yeah. I'm really looking forward to it, and I know the preload for it starts on, I think tomorrow. I think it is tomorrow. Mm. Yeah, Veterans Day. So I'm going to preload it, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect time to release this because Disney Plus is coming out a couple of days.
Oh, I'm staying home Tuesday.
Really? All right. So, what is the first series or show or movie that you're going to stream from Disney Plus as soon you launch it? First thing.
Ooh, that is a good question. I've actually not thought of what is the first thing I'm going to experience. Wow. That is a very good question. You know what?
There's a lot.
You know what? Of everything.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say I can't believe I'm going to say this, but no, of everything that I would probably experience the second I turn on Disney Plus is DuckTales.
You know what? I don't blame you. And you know which one I'm going to watch first? Gargoyles.
Yeah.
That's my first one. I want to watch a couple episodes from that because it's a short without commercials. So it's like, what, maybe 20 minutes or so each episode?
Yep.
But I do want to watch DuckTales for sure.
Oh, breaking the fourth wall. Shout out to Reef. Reef just reminded me. What the hell am I saying? The first thing I'm experiencing is The Mandalorian. Yeah, that's
speaking first. Of Star Wars. Absolutely. There you go.
Yeah.
That's going to be good. And the new trailer looks, woo, looks really good too. Yeah, man. I'm probably going to get Disney Plus. I might just use a free trial first and I go from there after that, man. So
yeah. Yeah, it's going to be, actually, this is going to be a good next couple days here. You know, not only is Disney Plus coming, but Rick and Morty is tonight. New episode for season four. Ooh, so nice. I'm looking forward to that. And
You just started watching
that. Yeah, I just got into Rick and Morty. I only got into Rick and Morty 3-4 months ago. Like, I'd always known of it, but I never actually sat down and watched it. And then, yeah, I just binged it and got caught up on it. And now I've just, yeah, I'm fully engrossed into that world and all the deeper meanings and everything that's going on. So yeah, really looking forward to that. And then Watchmen episode four is out tonight as well. So I'm looking forward to that too.
I just watched the first episode. It's good. It's really good.
Keep watching.
I know. No, it starts, I'm not going to front. It starts slow, but it's getting good. I'm going to start watching.
I would argue the way it started was very important because I guarantee it was an education for about 90% of the people that were watching.
Oh, yeah.
It was the Tulsa Massacre of 1921, which was literally the dark, probably one of the darkest moments in the history of the United States. And a lot of people didn't know about it. I didn't know about it until I was in college. And, you know, they don't teach you this stuff in school. And a lot of people thought that, oh, this was real. They thought it was made up for the show. No, that actually happened. That's real, which, just disgusting. But
yeah,
it's a good show. Really good show.
Yeah, really good show, man. So definitely going to be watching the other episodes 2 and 3. So, all right. So I think we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 980. Can you believe, Paris, there's only 20 episodes left for our 1,000th episode.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That is insane. By the way, Thanksgiving break, we're gonna have a whole week off. And then we'll come back.
We are.
It's just Thanksgiving. You want to record Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I am. Just because you don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want.
No. I think it's good for us to take a break and then we'll come back. And, you know, we have a couple more episodes in December. And then holiday break, man. I'm going to take a couple weeks off until early January. We'll come back. So we're going to start the year strong. And yeah, we'll see when is... Actually, I have to find out when is exactly our 1,000 episode. I got to like do the math. But it's between January or February around there. So yeah, still working on some stuff. We'll see how that goes. Anything else, Paris?
I just remembered. Might as well say it to everyone that's listening or watching. I won't be on next Monday's episode because I'm going camping.
Ooh-wee. Yeah, that's good. Don't worry, I'll work something out.
Yep.
So that means no streaming, guys. There's only going to be an episode. That's it. So stay tuned. All right. So thanks for listening. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.